Hey, before we get into the message this morning, this is exciting about Palomas, and I want to just share with you, as Gustavo already introduced himself, he was just had some things from last week's message. Mm-hmm. This was great to tie into, yes. Because we talked about that God calls you by name, and that in order to call you by name, he has to know you by name. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you had some things that you just in processing and stuff that wanted to just kind of relay today.
Well, God is supposed to be last. Is this on? Yeah. Did I mess it up?
No, I think I did. Okay. That's my bad.
Can you hear me?
Hey.
So, last week I was going to share, but I didn't. But I just have convicted, and God pressed on me to come and share this with you. Mark was saying that God called you by name. And of course, he does. It's in the scriptures. And we have to believe that. And he also mentioned there is more than what is in you, in us, than what we think sometimes. And because of what we've been through life, or the jobs, family, problems, the dynamics, sometimes we think that we're not enough. And that is very true. But I'm going to share with you something. There's two things that God gave me. And one thing is that, you know, a corn, popcorn, you run that through what? Through the heat and oil. And that thing will turn inside out 8 to 14 times the size of it. And everything is inside of it. It's inside. Think about sometimes when we God is speak to us, or we go through trials and tribulations, do we allow God to run us through the fire? That he can purify us and mold us according to what he's saying. And running through that, we need to learn that there is more. Much more than what we think, or sometimes what we see in the mirror. You know, now there is another little story that I'm going to, I hear this story like 30 years ago, 28 years ago, and it was about a man who in Texas, he had like 100 acres, something like that, and he was going to, they were going to foreclose on his property 2 weeks to end the deal, and he said, that's not my land anymore. But there is people who've been scouting the land and helicopter. And finally, these people come 2 weeks before and say to him, can we go check your land? He says, it's not my land anymore. 2 weeks, it's the bank's, it's not mine. And he just had the mentality that it's not his. And it's not his land, and it's not his land. So, well, you know, we've been checking some things, but if we find something that we want, we can give you a contract and we can give you a check. He said, whatever, it's not my land anymore. I'm going to lose it. So then they go, and of course, they find oil. So they have a contract. They bring that contract to him. And he said, look, this is a check for $500,000. He only owed $100,000. And he was going to lose the land for $100,000. And he said, you know, we're going to start doing this. You give us a permission. So then we're going to give you probably around $500,000 like every 3 months. So think about this. The man was rich before or after? The whole time, right? But it took someone to guide him and to open up his eyes where the riches was. And I see that Mark is his teaching. Nick is his teaching to us. You know, God is speaking through them to bring that to mature in us. So I just ask you, as he preaches, don't just, I'm not saying that you're doing, but I'm just saying, take the word and chew it. Take it home. Don't just say it was a good sermon. Take it and try to say, what is God speaking to me about this? And look at yourself in the mirror in a different way. Amen? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Gustavo. Hey, I love this man so much, and I just have to say that what he shares from his word pictures, it is just gold. And so I just thank you for sharing that. Would you just pray this morning for our message, that the Lord would just speak to all of our hearts today?
Yes, Lord. Father God, King of the universe, miracle worker, thank you for your love for us. Father, I just pray for your word, that it will be just clear coming through Mark's mouth to the people,
to you people,
to you kids, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the message, Lord God, that you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend. All right. Well, let's bring the worship team back up. I think we can just be done for today. Man, what a great morning so far. I have been so blessed, and just, you have to know a little something about worship here at the River Church. So our team communicates, we communicate, the speaker and the worship team, we're talking throughout the week and just figuring out what is being shared. And so we're figuring this whole thing out in the day. And so the music that was picked, Kim, oh my gosh, this was like on point with where it was going today, of just how amazing God is. Blown away by our Creator. And just who he is and how much awe he brings from each and every one of us. I hope you are in awe of your Lord, of your Savior, of your King of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this morning, I want to talk to you about just how big God is. We're in the midst of a series on the lessons from Moses. Moses, you know, had a lot of things happen to him through his life. God was dealing with him on a number of different things, and we want to just kind of explore some of those different lessons that Moses learned from God, from his leadership. And last week, as we talked about, God calls you by name. And it's such an amazing thing that I love some of the testimonies that I got to hear this last week of people just going, I'm answering that call, and it is just so amazing to hear that. So continue to respond to what the Lord is doing in your heart. My hope is that as we share about how big God is today, it will be even more of an encouragement to you as to where you can take this relationship that you have with the Lord. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to go to Exodus 6, all right? And we're going to spend a lot of time here in Exodus 6. We're going to talk about Exodus 6. But before we get into Exodus 6, I want to just give you a little context of what is about to happen, or what kind of conversation Moses is going to have with God and why he's having this conversation. So in Exodus 5, Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh and does the classic song, you know, that is in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. When Moses was in Egypt land, let my people go. That's what he's doing to Pharaoh. He's saying, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh goes, no, nope, not going to happen. In fact, I am so angry that you're actually coming and talking to me about this, that I'm going to require the same amount of bricks to be built by the Israelites, but oh, I'm going to take away the straw. They're going to have to get their own straw. Sorry, same amount of bricks, no straw, you got to get it yourselves. So he goes back to the people and says, he didn't let you go. And now you got to make your bricks and find the straw yourselves. So they're mad at Moses. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you even representing us? Why are you making our life so hard? It would have been better if you had just stayed out of it. And so Moses is in this place, and in Exodus 5, 22 and 23, he goes before God. He has answered his call to be the representative for the people to Pharaoh and to lead the people out of Egypt. And he says this in verse 22. He says, then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, why have you brought all of this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you have done nothing to rescue them. Moses is going to before God and saying, what am I supposed to do here? The people are mad at me. Pharaoh's mad at me. They're all shooting the messenger, God. What's the deal? This isn't fair. And God, in his response of what we're going to be talking about today in chapter 6, is so awesome, so appropriate, so godlike. in his conversations with Moses, and I believe that even with us at times when he speaks to our hearts and he shares things with us, and he talks to Moses, and this is a mic drop moment. This is a big reveal reminder. This is a spoiler alert moment that God is just about to drop the hammer with Moses and share this amazing thing, all right? And I want to read it to you today. So if you do not have a Bible with you, the verses will be up on the screen, and also they are on our app. You can go to the sermon notes portion of our app, and there is the notes there, the verses there, and there's even places to add your own notes. So that's a new addition to the notes on the app. All right? So let me read this to you guys this morning. Starting in verse 1, we're just going to read verses 1 through 8, and it says this. Then the Lord told Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land." And God said to Moses, "I am Yahweh, the Lord. I am who I am. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. And I reaffirm my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promise to give them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I am well aware of my covenant with them. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, I am who I am. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am who I am." I'm adding some of those things. He's just saying, "I am the Lord," but I wanted to just add that because in it he is saying, Yahweh, your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am who I am. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is because I want, and sharing about Yahweh and what Yahweh means, because I want to just give you some bigger picture idea of what God is speaking to Moses in this moment. In other words, God is saying, remember that I am who I am. I have not ceased to be God because little Pharaoh is huffing and puffing about your command. I am who I am. I do not change. You will be delivered. So in verse 3, where he's talking about appearing to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob as El Shaddai, why did he say this? Why did he bring this up of all of the things that he could have brought up in this passage scripture? Why did he say this? And how is it a comfort to Moses? And how can it be a comfort to you and to me? Well, God was saying in this moment, he's saying, I gave you my full name, Yahweh, Moses, which is greater than God Almighty. I gave your forefathers God Almighty. With a name like that, they should have been filled with confidence. Just with this small portion of who I am, God Almighty, they should have been filled with enough confidence, and they were, to go and do great things. Now, they also doubted. They also fell flat on their face, but they continued to be faithful and continued to live for the Lord. And he goes on to say, you know my real name, Moses. I gave you the full name that I am who I am. How much more confident should you be? You have been given the fuller revelation of who I am. The fuller revelation. You have been given the biggest picture of who I am, Moses. So don't worry. You will see the promised land. So how do we respond to Yahweh? When I say those words, when I read them to you this morning, how did you respond? With awe and reverence, or fear and trembling, or was it just like, eh? I mean, when Moses came back, later on in the chapter, Moses goes back to the Israelites, and he goes, hey, guys, just want to remind you, Yahweh told me that we're out of here. And they're going, so? Yeah, we've heard that before. Thanks. How do we respond to Yahweh? How do we, when we are reflecting on how great God is, when we sing a song like, how great is our God? When we sing, how great thou art? Are we just going, whoo? Or is it, eh? Yeah. Often we reflect on the Lord, and for many of us, in just American culture and world culture, God tends to be represented more distant than intimate, smaller and petty, and not large and loving. And he's represented often as a joke. And all of those are misrepresentations of the greatness and the awesomeness and the mightiness of God. I want to focus on this small part, El Shaddai, which is God Almighty, before we hit on Yahweh. Because Moses was just getting his feet wet with understanding El Shaddai as he was hearing about Yahweh. So I want to look at that. In Job 37:23, it says this, the Almighty, or El Shaddai, we cannot find him. He is great in power. The name Almighty implies that God has all the might he needs to do anything he wants to do. This view of God is confirmed over and over and over again in Scripture, and we call it the omnipotence of God. Omnipotent and almighty means virtually the same thing. In particular, there are three things that God's omnipotence implies about himself. And I want to hit those this morning as we're talking about this lesson from Moses today. The first one is this, that God, he cannot be stopped from accomplishing his purposes. God Almighty cannot be stopped from accomplishing his purposes. No matter what those purposes are, he will see them through. If he says it, he'll do it. All right? And in Daniel 4:35, it says, all the people of earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? If God's purpose with all of his heart, if he purposes to do something with all of his heart, it simply cannot be stopped by any power in the universe. Are you hearing this morning? Yeah. So if God is saying to Moses, I will deliver my people out of Egypt, guess what he's going to do? Deliver his people out of Egypt. And from the beginning of Scripture, when we read in Genesis where God is talking about that man will step on the with his heel on the head of the snake, there is a representation of what God is going to do in the near future for him. For us, it was millennia, but God was bringing a Savior. That in the moment where there was separation from his creation, when sin entered the world, God was already establishing a Savior to come and to redeem mankind. And he was going to do that through his own son. And so, he did. He sent his son to die on a cross. 3 days later, to be resurrected from the dead, he went and he took on the sin of all mankind upon himself so that we could have a second chance at a reconciled, redeemed relationship with God the Father. So that we could be in a kingdom of heaven community with our Lord and our Savior. This is what he did. If he says it, he'll do it. He cannot be stopped from accomplishing his purposes. He is God Almighty. He is El Shaddai. The next thing is that he does what he pleases. In Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, our God is in the heavens, and he does what he wishes. In Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, it says, for I alone am God, I am God, and there are none like me. There is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Ultimately, the only thing that determines what God will accomplish and what he won't is his own will. This is what it means to be almighty and omnipotent. Now, when I talk about this, I want you to refrain from putting this idea of God into our finite understanding and planning. Because I get it. We could say, well, if God, you know, wanted a purpose to have, like, no sickness, then he could do it, but there's not. And so does that mean that God isn't, you know, as big or as strong as... Listen. We cannot put our finite understanding and our own American context into the vastness and the greatness of God Almighty. If we start to think that we know better from our perspective, we're missing the point, and we have now made God this big. And he is not. He is all-powerful. And his power, the third thing, is superior to all other powers. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 12, says, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale?" And then drop down, and we'll go to the next slide here for the next part of it. It says, "For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand." I love this. I mean, we sing the song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, for those of you that are like millennials, you're like, "What did you just sing?" Sorry, it's old school, okay? But when I think about this song, I'm thinking like holding a basketball. You know, like God's got the whole world in his hand. He's holding it, you know, he's dribbling. But he's actually thinking about it, the grain of sand. Now, today, Super Bowl Sunday. Pretty excited to watch the game later on this afternoon. And I love at the football games when you've got the Goodyear blimp flying overhead and showing the stadium, right? You guys know the picture. If you ever watch a football game, they show that for the most part, and it's usually they'll have it there at the Super Bowl. You'll probably see it. The Olympics are going on as well right now, and during the opening ceremonies, you're seeing the stands and the fireworks and all of this stuff going on, and there are millions upon millions of people watching this game today, attending the game. And I want you just for a moment to pretend you're in the Goodyear blimp looking at this stadium, all right? Just imagine it. We're gonna get to the bigness of God here, okay? So now, you see this stadium where there are thousands of people. Now, from the Goodyear blimp, we're actually going to leave the Goodyear blimp, and we have the ability now to just breathe and fly like Superman up out into space, okay? So we're going to leave the Goodyear blimp, and we're going to just go up, and now we're seeing LA County. And as we continue to get higher up into the sky, LA County begins to get smaller, and we're beginning to see California, the state of California. And it shrinks, and we begin to see the United States, and as that shrinks, we begin to see the entire blue and green and brown, Earth. And as it shrinks, our solar system comes into view, where all of these planets are rotating around our sun. And as that begins to shrink, we begin to see these other stars coming into place and more solar systems beginning to take form and beginning to take shape. And now all of a sudden, we're leaving that. We're beginning to see the Milky Way galaxy is spinning around in space. And from there, we continue to go farther and farther. We begin to see more and more galaxies, more and more of God's creation that he has spoken, boom, and it has become reality. This is the might that God carries, and yet this almighty, all great, omnipotent God zooms back in to Joe at the Super Bowl, who just spilled his beer in his lap and the cheese from his nacho dribbled down onto his gut. And he goes, I love that man. Yeah. Almighty. Almighty. This is so big. Nothing that has ever awed you can compare to him. He is God Almighty. He does whatever he pleases. He is the potter, and the universe is his clay. So, we talked at first about how we typically respond to God, to Yahweh. Here's how we should respond to the Almighty God. One, with reverence. He is God, and we are not. In Romans 9:20-21, Paul says, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and the other for dishonorable use? I love how John Piper says this. John Piper is a pastor, and he says this. He explains it this way. Reverence is the combination of admiration and fear, awe and dread, wonder and terror. It's an emotion that we were made to experience, and in its absence, we created motion pictures and take vacations, which do their best to provide a substitute. We go mountain biking. We go skiing. We go hiking. We do all of these things in this amazing town to substitute who truly deserves our worship and our awe. And the only way we will ever experience it is to know the Lord as God Almighty, the Omnipotent. That's how we will experience true reverence. The second thing is to take refuge in Him. We don't run and hide from God. Instead, we should run to Him and find security. I love this in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. Shelter in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, we've shared this before, but there's this word picture of what a mother hen does with its chicks to protect the chicks. Will put its wings out, and the chicks will immediately come underneath. And wherever that mama goes, man, those chicks, those little babies are gonna hang out underneath those wings. There is a protective place that those chicks feel like they're safe under that shadow of their mama. And we should feel the same inkling, the same desire to be able to go into the shadow of the Almighty, to take refuge there. He is the only one that we should be running to. He alone has the almighty power to be our shelter, to be our refuge. He is the only one that can take those things, those burdens, those struggles, those frustrations. He is the only one that can heal you from those things. Hear this today. We run to all sorts of stuff. We may run to food or alcohol, drugs or pornography. We may run to relationships. We may run to our job or working or our garden, or we run to all of these different things, to fishing, and it's not all bad. But we run to so many different things, and yet we are looking for something to satisfy. Something to make us feel secure. Something to heal the hurt, the hole, the pain inside. And the only one that we should be running to is to God Almighty. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. Come to me. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not fail. If he proposes it, if he purposes it, it will come to pass. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up. As we finish up the day, what this means as we take refuge is that if you take your place under the shadow of the Almighty, you are protected. Hear this, you are protected by omnipotence. There is infinite and unending security in the almightiness of God. When you come to him, you are protected by the Almighty King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May you today understand who this Almighty God really is. That yes, he cannot be stopped from accomplishing his will. He cannot. And he does do whatever he pleases. He is the Lord. And he is good. And he loves you. And his power is superior to all other powers. So would you allow him to do the healing work in your heart? Would you come to him in reverence as you run under the shadow of the Almighty? And may you be restored. May you find healing today. And may he rescue you from the hurt. Amen? Just stand up with me. I'd like to just close in prayer. Oh, this is good. This is so good this morning. My hope is that you have a different perspective of God today. That he may be a little bit bigger or a lot bigger in your heart than he was before. And may you run to him with abandonment. As your heavenly Father, and allow him to take you up and demonstrate his loving omnipotence. Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for this group of people that are in here. Lord, would you just continue to speak to our hearts today? And whatever we're doing, that no matter how big we see the circumstances in our own life, whatever the thing is that is in front of us, God, that we would know and trust that you are bigger, that you are almighty. And like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that should be enough. And yet, you are Yahweh. You are bigger than just being God Almighty. May we take comfort in that, as Moses learned to take comfort in that. Would you help us to learn it as well? God, you are good. We praise you today. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I'd like to invite the elders to come down and pray in the front for you. We have a group of people that have come down, and I want to just invite you, if you are in a place of needing prayer, they are here to pray with you. They are here to just put a hand on you, on your shoulder, and pray for you. They are here to encourage you in your relationship with God. If you're wanting to know the Lord today, for the first time, I want to just invite you to come down and get prayed for. If you are wanting healing in your life today, I want you to come down and be prayed for. I want to encourage you this morning to seek the Lord and have a tangible experience with him today as these guys are praying for you this morning. We've got just these guys are up here, and they're going to pray with you, all right? So I just want to invite you to come on down if you need any kind of prayer whatsoever, All right? As we sing, come on down. All right? So let's do it.